Hi, I'm Quinn Sertic. Today on the Two Tickets segment, I recap the final two exhibition games against UQTR, the final regular season game against Concordia, which ended after the ninth round of the shootout, and the home opener against Ottawa U, which was also the FMH alumni weekend. Our guest today is alternate captain Ty Fournier. All right. Welcome to the second episode of the Two Tickets segment on the Friends of McGill Hockey podcast. And it's great to be back. The first episode I thought went really well was with Sam Tremblay, the captain of this year's team. We talked about philosophy, talked about being a captain on a relatively young team. We also got to talk about his goals after hockey. So for those of you who haven't listened, it's episode one. But for those of you who did listen, thanks for bearing with me and listening to my voice for 35 minutes, because I don't know if I could do it, but I appreciate it because it was my first time ever doing a podcast and I had a lot of fun with it. So I look forward to bringing you updates and interviews throughout the season. I also got a new microphone, so hopefully it sounds a little bit better. Today's episode will have the first two exhibition games, or the final two exhibition games against UQTR. So going to break that down and then get into the fun stuff with the regular season. So the first game of the season was against Concordia, which ended after the ninth round of the shootout. I'll probably mention that five more times in this episode. And then also the home opener against Ottawa U, which was also the FMH alumni weekend. So it was great for me to reconnect with some of my old teammates I hadn't seen for 3, 4, 5 years, and then also meet alumni that I had never had the chance to meet. All around, it was a great Saturday. We started with the alumni game at 4 p.m., then we had the family skate, and then after it was the home opener for the guys. So overall, great event. Thanks to everyone involved for coming and showing your support, and then after the game to the players for coming out, introducing themselves and whatnot. So all around, great weekend for the team, great weekend for the alumni. And our guest today is alternate captain Ty Fournier, who I think you'll enjoy that interview. We had a couple laughs, shared a couple stories. But before we get to the interview, let's kick it to the game recaps. And the second last exhibition game of the season against UQTR. Game 5 of the exhibition season took place against UQTR on Friday, October 29th. This was a road game for the Breadbirds, and sure enough, fresh off his podcasting debut, leading the way was captain Samuel Tremblay with 2 goals in this contest. Other notable performers were Alexis Shank with 43 saves, Andrew McIntyre scored a goal, and so did Caden Daly in this 4-2 victory. Notes from the coach: it was a hard-fought game with a playoff-like atmosphere. From my personal experience, that's great that there was a playoff-like atmosphere, because Trois-Rivières now hosts a East Coast Hockey League team, so perhaps maybe the fan support wouldn't be as notable with an East Coast Hockey League team now in that city, but it's great that they're still getting the support at the U Sports level. There were a lot of penalties in the third period, but the PK was solid, so good job, PK, as Johnny would say. And the final score was 4-2 for the good guys, as I mentioned. So this was one half of a home-and-home exhibition series against Trois-Rivières. I'm going to recap Game 6 right after this. In the final game of the exhibition season, McGill suffered a 4-3 loss to UQTR, which was the back end of a home-and-home series against them in the exhibition play. The game took place on Saturday, October 30th, and there were goals from Kieran Yamamoto, Andrew McIntyre, and Will Sear. According to Irk, head coach of the Redbirds this year, there was lots of character and incredible effort on back-to-back nights with a shortened bench. So I guess the team was down to 10 forwards, but they were never out of the fight and made it a close one. And then I guess at the end of the game with the goalie pulled, they had a great opportunity. Players on the ice thought it was a goal, but unfortunately the ref wasn't in position to see where the puck was, although apparently it was across the line just under the goalie's pad. But just exhibition, right? So that concludes the exhibition season for the McGill Redbirds. They moved to 3 wins, 3 losses on the year. Overall, for a relatively new team with 20 of the players being either freshmen or sophomore, I'd say it's a pretty good start. The team's starting to mesh, come together, and that was noticeable in the first game of the regular season, which I'm going to get to right after this. A very exciting game. It went to 9 rounds of shootout. This was the fourth most in OUA hockey history. So I'll try not to spoil anything here, but moving forward, that concludes the exhibition season for the McGill Redbirds, and here we go. Game one, season opener, coming up now. And with that, we officially have begun the 2021-2022 regular season for the Redbird hockey team. And what a start to the season it was. An exciting game. Almost record-breaking game, actually. We'll get to that later. But this took place on Wednesday, November 4th. It was an away game against Concordia, a huge rival for the McGill Redbirds across all sports. And what a start to this one. I mean, right off the hop, there was big hits. There was scrums after pretty much every whistle. You thought it was a rugby game out there at some points with all the tension and animosity going on. But what a start. Unfortunately, McGill went down 1-0, but they were able to climb back quickly with a goal from Ty Fournier. Great pass from the point, and it was tipped in on his backhand to tie it up and make it all square at one. Then, going into the second period, Keanu Yamamoto came in down the wing, made a beautiful pass to Blake Hayward, who ripped it, low blocker, I believe it was, and gave the fans a Hulk Hogan salute with the ear, "I can't hear you," which had me laughing on my couch as I watched the game, because he was pointing at the Concordia football team that was pretty much chirping the Redbirds the whole game. And what an atmosphere, too. Wednesday night, there was probably 500 people there. And for those of you not familiar with that arena, there stands only on one side, so it feels like pretty much the fans are completely over top of you. So exciting, to say the least. It had that kind of first playoff game atmosphere. You know, it's a rival. Everyone wants to get that first win of the season. Everyone's jacked up to start the season for meaningful games. So definitely that playoff type atmosphere in this one. After the first period, or after the second period, after Blake made it 2-1, then it was tied by Concordia, I think halfway through the third period, on a goal. And immediately after, McGill got in some penalty trouble where they had a 5-on-3 for the full 2 minutes, but rookie goaltender Alexis Schenk came up huge and he had 7 of his 37 saves during that 5-on-3. Very impressive play by him, which we saw evident in the shootout later during the game. So 2-2 going into overtime. One person that definitely stood out for me was, I believe it's junior forward Phil, aka Dougie Gilmore. He was on the fourth line, but I noticed him all over the ice. He was hitting, he was blocking shots. Maybe it was because of the white strip down his pants, because he had the tester pants on, so maybe that's why. But overall, great game by Dougie. I thought he really competed hard, and so did a lot of the guys during that game in what was a very, very excited game. So overtime, 7 minutes of overtime solved nothing, and they went into shootout. And most shootouts are 3 rounds, but this one went the distance, to say the least. The goalies made every save until the 9th shootout, when Alexis Schenk was able to make his save. But in comes Ty Fournier, the junior, and he comes down the wing, picks up the puck, comes down the wing, goes left to right, and just wires a shot, top right corner over the goalie's glove. Huge Shelly right into the fans. Crowd goes silent. Awesome, awesome experience for the guys to get their first win, and Coach Urquhart to get his first regular season win. And after the game, Coach Urquhart mentioned that when he gave Ty the tap on the shoulder to shoot in the bottom of the 9th inning for the shootout and secure that victory with the walk-off goal, he saw this look in his eye. Ty's a pretty fierce competitor, and Urk saw that. He saw this fire in his eyes and had a good feeling about that. And Ty also mentioned that he was going to go down and rip it. The ice was bad, and I understand. I mean, the third period happened, the 7 minute overtime happened, and then the ice was bad from the shootout. So not a bad idea to just go home, go in and go rip it, because sometimes when you're trying to make a deke, not for me personally, I never got to shoot in the shootout in my career, and didn't have the best hand, so I probably would have done the same thing. But great play by Forns to secure the victory. And also for those of you at home who want to watch the games, if you go to OUA TV, they had a great stream. I connected it to my my Apple TV at home, my laptop to my Apple TV. There was instant replays. There was different camera angles. It was great to watch at home. So go to OUA TV, follow all your games online. And moving forward, that concludes game one of the regular season. McGill turns to 1-0 and on to game two, which is the alumni weekend. So without further ado, let's jump into the game two recap. The second game of the regular season took place at McConnell Arena for the Redbirds' home opener. They faced off against Ottawa U. And this also happened to be the alumni weekend. So the Friends of McGill Hockey alumni weekend, where a bunch of guys from all over able to come to the game, say hi to a couple of their old teammates. It was great for me personally. Got to catch up with guys I hadn't seen in 3-4 years. So all around, great event. Now, before we get into the game, I just want to thank John St. Pierre and PDH for organizing this great event. It truly was an awesome experience catching up with old teammates, as I mentioned, and then also meeting new alumni that have sacrificed so much for this program, donating to the program to make the guys on the ice, give the guys on the ice ample opportunity to do what they do best. Now, as everyone was saying their hellos and piling into McConnell Arena, the players on the ice went down 2-0 3 minutes into the game. So not the best start for the guys, but the boys would show some resiliency and stop the bleeding immediately as they stormed back with 3 unanswered goals from Brandon Scoobel, Eric Uba, and Alex Plamondon. Shout out goes to my former teammate, Taylor Ford, who made a great play in the first period when he pinched on the blue line, made a huge hit, and then a great pass to Brandon Scoobel to assist on McGill's first goal of the game. So for not being much of a skill guy, Fordo, great play. Unfortunately, Ottawa went on to score goals 13 seconds apart in the third period to reclaim a 4-3 lead, and then eventually would ice the game with an empty netter. The final score was 5-3 for Ottawa. Despite the outcome of the match, current players and alumni joined forces after the game for a special meet and greet. They talked about what they're studying, introduced themselves. For the alumni, they got to mention when they were on the Redbirds. And also, notable faces in the crowd were Marty Raymond, Mike Richards, Mathieu Portois, and Pierre Gendron, who are all McGill Sports Hall of Fame inductees. Now, McGill moves to 1-1 on the regular season. And that concludes our game recaps for this episode. All right, now that we've gone through how the team is doing as a whole this year, let's meet one of the players on the squad this year. We have Jordan Ty Fournier as our guest today on the show. He's a fourth-year forward from Dorval, Quebec, currently studying industrial relations. So I think you guys will like this one. Without further ado, let's pass it on to Jordan Ty. All right, our guest today is in his fourth year at McGill. He's an alternate captain for the Redbirds, studying industrial relations. And during his U Sports career, he's tallied 14 goals, 24 points in 54 games. Not too shabby for a guy with 72 career pimps. He's one of a kind. Welcome to the Two Tickets podcast, Jordan Ty Fournier.
Yeah, go. Well, hey, thanks a lot for having me, Quinn. It's great to be here.
Good to see you, Miss Slimpy. Good to see you. What's up, man? How's it like being back on the ice playing meaningful games after such a long hiatus?
It definitely feels great. I mean, probably didn't in the first like week or two, you know, like you have to get all the little muscles back into it, especially around the knees and the hips, but it's coming along.
Oh, yeah. And now the other night you had probably one of the bigger goals of your career. Take me through that game. So it's a shootout. You're in the ninth shooter. What went on? What happened there?
Well, if I'm being honest, I'm on the bench and I was like kind of I was kind of worried. I didn't really want to go. I've never really been in a shootout before.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys are going by. So I'm starting to think like, oh man, like he might put me out there. So I'm like trying to think about what to do. I'm looking at what other guys are doing and I haven't seen anyone come in quick and just try to shoot it. Everyone's trying to like do something nice or a good move and they just seem to like lose the puck around the net. So as soon as I got off the ice, I like this move had worked for me in practice once on Vels and I just came in on that left side wide like a flow drill and put it where I do it in drills.
You're just like, oh yeah. And then you did a big salute to the crowd. It was actually a pretty good crowd there.
I had thought about the Selly too before. I wanted to do the Marek Malik.
Oh yeah, I showed Chrissy after that when we watched the game online, and I showed Chrissy the Marek Malik.
Yeah.
In the 10th, he does the Statue of Liberty salute.
Oh, it was so cool, a guy you don't expect to score, he scores, and then it was the straight face too.
Yeah,
it
just gave the crowd. Hilarious. Yeah, man. So just to put into context, it's in the game recap, but Ty went down. He was in the 9th round of shootout. It was a 3-3 game, and then you had one goal earlier in the game, and then boom, shootout winner to get the first win on the first game of the season. I feel everyone else is like, you're always jacked up for the first game of the season too. Like there's something special. It's regular season now, game time. Did you guys feel that way too?
Yeah, but there were nerves too. Like I know I may be just like speaking for me here, but first game in I think it was like 600 days, like a meaningful game, you know, not a preseason. It was like, I don't know, you get worried kind of, but it was like a good worry.
Yeah,
like we felt good. It was quiet in the room before. Everyone was like being focused and ready. And you know what? We came out, we got the W, and it felt really good.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Great way to start. Nice little Wednesday night season opener. Now, this year, you're an alternate captain. As an older guy on a team and now a leader, what's been different for you, if anything, being one of the older guys now with such a young group?
Well, it's different, right? Because my first 2 years, I took a lot in from our older guys and from like everyone on the team. Then we had like a buffer year in the middle where it's like, okay, now it's most of the guys that I played with those 2 years, they're gone. Like, how are we going to come in with 20 rookies? It's definitely like a situation, but I feel like when you have a letter on your jersey, it's something that you obviously earn, but it's not something that should change you at all. Like, you should just go out and still be yourself every day and try your best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's leading in practice, leading on games, you know, saying two words, but I definitely had a lot of help from the older guys on how to be.
And what did you say? You're like more vocal this year. I know you play like extremely hard and that's something I always notice with you, but you know, have you had to step up, maybe talk, let guys know what to do, what not to do?
Yeah. Just like little things, helping guys adjust, you know, like I'm sure you remember your first year too, with like having to adjust to school, getting books.
Yeah.
Going online, like even now for like the second year guys that were here during the COVID year,
it's an
adjustment having to go to school, walk to school, prep your meals,
go to
the rink. So it's been an adjustment, but I think I think it's going good.
All the midterms online now, you got to go to class for midterms.
Yeah, and honestly, that's a bigger change than you would actually imagine.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I didn't like it.
Have you had in person midterms?
Yeah, I had my first one, and I swear for like the first 10 minutes, I drew a blank, and I was a little out of it, but I got back into it.
Yeah,
but it's different for sure.
Yeah, I mean all the online midterms, they're open book, right? Because like you have that access, and then you change to, you know, you go back, you're like, okay, I have a time limit now. I have, you know.
It's also like a different type of studying.
Yeah.
You have to like really, instead of like really not knowing your broad stuff, you have to like, you take more from readings, you take more from a lot of other things. But when you're in class, it's, you have to commit it more to memory, and I find it harder.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess we'll go back, now that we've talked a bit about this season, let's take it back to maybe your younger years. So you have two older brothers and one sister, right?
Yeah.
And they're both really good hockey players. I think one's in Slovakia and one's in the SV.
Yeah, he came out of retirement to have some fun.
To play in the SV?
Yeah,
my brother played in the SV, so that's funny. Mississippi River Kings.
Well, he hasn't played in like my brother Dylan, he hasn't played in maybe, he retired going into his third year of his ELC when he was younger than me, actually, probably around 23. And he's a 94, so that would make him, what, 20, 27 now?
Yeah.
So I guess he was just missing the rink. Decided to come back, come out of retirement.
That's hilarious. What, growing up with two older brothers, you guys must have some good stories of, you know, a couple fights here and there, a couple mini stick battles.
So we were actually, like, we grew up playing a lot of sports. So, like, soccer, football, we swam a lot, too. So, like, especially, like, in the summer times, too, we had, like, a bunch of, like, a good group of neighborhood kids that would come over. And, like, how we all kind of got really competitive is that we would have a basketball court, like, in my front yard at my house. We would spray paint the street into a basketball key, play basketball for 2 hours. Same thing, like, just...
You'd spray paint the road and just be like, make it professional. You guys are playing 21 for 7 hours.
Yeah, I'm like one of that old, like, you know, like the backboards that the ball just dies on, like the basketball net. Yeah. Like, so we would go on that and then go into my pool and like play Marco Polo, but like a decked out Marco Polo where you would like white out and Sharpie goggles and scratch the goggles with like scissors. So you couldn't see.
So isn't that dangerous? Kids are just running around the pool with no, like, well, they can't see anything.
It was just in the pool. So it was like it was just Marco Polo in the pool. So everyone was quiet. There was like 8 or 9 like guys, like guys that were playing junior, like just from the neighborhood. And we would just go into the pool and we knew the dimensions of the pool. So we didn't need it. We were all such good swimmers that it was just, okay. And then eventually when there was less people, we would like shorten the pool up. So you had to like maneuver in like certain angles and like hold your breath for a long period of time. Like growing up with those two guys, like their friends were always around. We play road hockey. We'd always get into little scrums. I mean, you'll find this funny, but for my first junior camp, like I knew I was gonna fight, like my braces were coming off early. And the way for them to teach me how to fight was they were gonna fight me. So after practice, after like a summer practice, they would essentially beat me up.
Like full on gloves off, you guys would be going at it with your brothers. How old were you at this time?
I was like 16. Going into my first camp, like their thought process was, oh yeah, like you get punched in the face by a 19-year-old, it won't hurt as much as if I punch you. So I'd stay on my feet. They let me swing more and try to get accustomed to it a little bit. But yeah, I got domed a couple of times.
Yeah. Now I guess that leads into my next question. So I think it's on dropyourgloves.com. You have the number one fight in the QMJHL. I think it has like 85,000 views. I watched it like 5 times before the interview. So maybe take us through that because I know you have a good background story about that one.
Yeah, so that one, so there was a guy on my team named Dylan Boucher who throughout like my 18-year-old year, like we'd always talk, even 19, like we were really, really close friends, still are actually. And we'd always talk like, oh yeah, who'd win a fight? Like we'd always joke around, oh, you're not that tough. And he ended up getting traded to Charlottetown. And I went to the hotel the night before to just see him, see how he is, all that stuff. And we ended up planning that out.
So the night before, you're at the hotel, and you and your buddy are like, we're going to go toe-to-toe as hard as we can.
Yeah. You'll see in the video, too, if you're listening to this and you end up watching it.
Yeah.
At one point, we switched to our left hands. That was preordained, too. It's like, we were like, if one person's hand gets too beat up, just yell switch, and we'll go left. And we did that, and didn't go too well for me at the
end. Took a tumble, but hey, that's a team effort, I guess, because you guys have, 85,000 views, right? So that's unreal. That's your claim to fame for junior hockey, I guess.
Yeah, I wish it was something nicer. I had a game 7 OT winner, a couple of weeks after that one. But.
Oh, so just a big week span for you. What was that? What game was that?
We had gone to game 7 overtime against Ottawa or Gatineau in the first round.
Yeah, OT winner. How old were you? Like second year? I
was
19.
So that was we had fought in January. That was the first round of playoffs. So it was around end of March.
How'd you score?
I had passed the puck into someone, and he came in and shot, and I got a rebound from the top of circle on the left side.
Just a massive celly.
Along the ice, barely knew I scored. I saw everyone else go crazy, and I was just like, "Oh my god!" Didn't have time to celebrate.
Just everyone tackles you. That's amazing.
I actually think it was my 20th birthday. Actually, I think it was the day of my 20th birthday.
Just all time. Best week of your life.
Magical.
Magical. and also, speaking of the fisticuffs, one of your teammates mentioned that he challenged you to fight him, but you declined, and that was Taylor Ford.
That's Taylor's claim. Yeah, that's his claim to fame. Loves bringing that up to humble me, I guess.
Yeah, I texted him. I said, Fordo, you got any dirt on Forens? And he said, yeah. Ask him about when I asked him to fight in junior and he declined.
Man, I've known that guy for 12 years. That's the best story you can come up with.
Yeah, that's it. That's all he could do. All right, so I guess another one for you. What are a few of your favorite moments so far as we get into the social life at McGill?
Like with the boys type of deal?
Yeah, like with the boys. Like if you look back, say, you know, maybe you're in my shoes and you look back at your university time, you're like, wow, I really remember that night, or I really remember doing this, or, you know, something like that along those lines.
Well, I'd say the two top moments are like social moments every year are always the Halloween party and the, what's it called, the opening party to kick things off. Those ones are always the most fun for me.
What were you for Halloween again?
This year?
Yeah.
This year I had to wait for my girlfriend to get to the party so I could be my actual costume, but for the first hour I was a sheep ghost.
Yeah, that was hilarious. You had the eyes cut through a bed sheet. And
but I ended up going as a free Britney Spears enthusiast. Because Britney deserves to be emancipated from her parents.
Did you watch the documentary?
No, apparently it didn't do Britney any justice.
It didn't?
No, apparently it was apparently she condoned it or something like that, and the media afterwards said it wasn't good. Again, this is coming off of what my girlfriend's saying. I definitely have no prior knowledge
of
what was going on.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, hint, hint.
Exactly. No, I haven't watched that one. Have you been watching any good shows lately?
Well, I watched that Dansbury Trashers and
Peaky Blinders. Oh, how good was that?
That one?
The Danbury awesome. Trashers.
That was an unbelievable.
Man, they're all good. Like the, what's the other one? Like it's called, I think, Untold Story, or what is it? Something.
I'm not sure.
There's a series though. They had the boxer though, the girl that was like getting beat up by her trainer. That was a guy. You should watch that one. That's a good
really?
One.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, they're all crazy. Like stories, the guy about the tennis guy, Marty Fish, and then the Danbury Thrashers one was unreal.
That one, Thrashers. Their jerseys were unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like sick, like the amount, like that was awesome.
The garbage can?
Yeah, but I watched this one thing actually. It was about, I forget what it was, but it was something like that. It was like a figure skating, like they got snubbed or something and there was a big controversy in the media. It was like, again, it's like a six limited series.
Oh yeah, the Canadian one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Canadian, they, because the Russians put like a hit on the judge.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it was like the redheaded judge that was like, oh, I was scared.
She was from France, so all the people from the one, like World War II, the Allies or whatever, they all voted for
the East.
The East, and then all the West voted for the West, and there was one person in the middle that was the French, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I had to do this, because the figure skating was so subjective, the Russians like made her basically vote for Russia. And the Russians fell twice in the thing. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, they should not have won.
That was wild.
I know. And then they split the gold medal, but that was crazy.
I don't know. I wouldn't have wanted to split the gold if that happened. Like, I was thinking about it. I was just like, okay, they were, like, complaining in the news and all that stuff. And
then what, you think the Russians wouldn't want to split, or the Canadians? Like, the Canadians
at one point, yeah, they should have won. But at one point, like, where do you go, like, from, oh, we deserve it, to, like, now the media turning it to being like, oh, yeah, like, you know, you didn't really deserve it. You guys whined until you got a gold medal.
Yeah, exactly. So, who knows? I guess the last one before we jump into the rapid fire. What can we look forward to the most about the team this year? So, there's a bunch of new faces. I've been to a couple games. You guys look pretty good, not going to lie. But what are you excited for?
I think we're going to do really well this year. You know, I unfortunately didn't get the chance to play against Three Rivers during the preseason. But for the four teams or the three teams that we've seen so far, like, we're going to see more of them. And there's no one really that like looks or like, it's not like they're, I don't want to say tough games. I'm just lack there of a better word. It's we know that we're better.
Yeah.
So like what you guys, like everyone can look forward to is like, you come out, we're going to battle and like, it's going to be down to the wire every game, regardless if we're up or down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, at the last game Saturday, you guys were down 2-0 in the first like 2 minutes, came back right away, and guys that I played with were in the stands, were like, they couldn't believe how fast the game was compared to when we played, and everything just seemed to go so quickly and there was so much energy. And it's great to see. I guess you have a young team, like everyone's hungry. But I think everyone in the whole league, like everyone pretty much has all new teams. Like it's a new, you know, because there was such a long break, it's kind of a new.
I think in Ottawa, I recognized three players.
I know.
I think I recognized three players from 2 years before during my second year. And it was Mongo, Matinen, and I think it was that Hardy, but Hardy got hurt, I think, in the first period.
Yeah, well, they got, I think their program got suspended or something. So when they started like 6 years ago, all their whole team was freshmen. So they're all 25, like 20-year-olds. They all came in at the same time and they all graduated at the same time last year or the year before. So now their whole team, like they have to recruit basically a whole new team.
Yeah, it's a little strange, yeah, right? You get used to like some of those like teams like looking the way they do or like the players on it. And then you like come to a new game and you're like, oh man, like this is going to be completely different. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's jump into the rapid fire here quickly. And that'll be it. So, what's your favorite sports team?
It was whichever hockey team my brothers were on.
Wichita Thunder.
It was Wichita for a bit, yeah, for a little bit. Montreal for a bit, Arizona, Chicago. I've kind of been bandwagoning around now
for a while. Yeah, I guess with your brothers, and you don't really watch, like, follow many other sports, right? Kind of just hockey?
Unless it's the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
The Olympics I like to watch just because it's awesome, but I'm not that big into football or baseball.
No. Well, the Olympics is coming up soon, too, winter, and we just had the summer one. It's kind of funny how that works. If you were at karaoke, what song would you sing?
Something by Nickelback.
Nickelback. Right, you're going to be Chad. That would have been a good costume.
It depends, though. You know, you always have some classic karaoke songs. You sing Wagon Wheel. That'll get the people going. Yeah. Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Those are too easy. You know, you got to go up and throw a mixer in there.
Yeah. And the last one we have for you, we may have to edit this out, but... what type of deodorant do you use? Antiperspirant or regular? And maybe elaborate why.
I definitely use the antiperspirant, but I've been trying to get myself a prescription stick of deodorant because I've been getting ripped on for the last few years. For those of you guys that don't know, I sweat a lot, especially from the armpits. So the boys love to give me the business about not wearing it, or the fact is I wear tons of it. It just doesn't work.
Just a sweaty guy.
But you should have seen it today. I was working out a little bit and, you know, it was light workout. I come in, I come out, everyone's like, oh my God, Foreign's like hard work today. I was like, nah, I was just walking up the hill, you know.
You got to just say, yeah, man, why aren't you guys not working as hard as me?
Yeah, at one point, you got to own it. You just got to own it. And hope.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. It was awesome to have you, and best of luck this season, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Quinn. Pleasure being on the Two Tickets podcast.
Let's go.
Huge thank you goes to Ty Fournier for coming on the episode, and it was great to talk about the team this year, the hockey, what it's like being back on the ice after such a long time off, and then your childhood growing up with two brothers. I know exactly how it feels, so awesome time having you on, Ty. Next time maybe we have you on, I'd like to get to talk a bit about your education and being in industrial relations and what's that like, and maybe a couple of your goals moving forward for life after hockey. And this is something I would like to emphasize with the guests moving forward that can potentially connect our alumni now to the players that we have on the team, what they're studying, what they're interested in, because eventually it comes to an end and eventually we all end up in beer league or... in the FMH alumni game. So it's good to maybe connect people and plan ahead. So that's something Kevin Moran brought to my attention. I look forward to having that as a focus in the upcoming interviews. That concludes the second episode of the Two Tickets segment. Moving forward, we're going to be launching bi-weekly every Monday. So look for the next episode to come out on Monday, November 22nd. Thanks to everyone for listening, and keep your elbows up and sticks on the ice.